Erev Yom Kippurim.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to jump now to the other end. The other end of the day, jump to a couple of things. Maybe we'll have time, we'll come back to we'll see Moshav. We have to come back to the early part of the day. But let's jump. I want to start to present basic things. Some things are very basic. To me, they're not so basic. Everything to me is usually a chiddush. But some ideas, many as a disclaimer, as like last time, a lot of things that I'm going to try to tell you, we don't do, but even though we do not do these things, it definitely opens up, at least to me, opens up my mind to get an appreciation of what the day is all about. Okay, first example, something that no one does today, at least not the way it was done in the olden days. It seems it was a minhag to give children in shul nuts, especially after mincha time. Like the candy man. Basically, the candy man is not a new thing. Today, the candy man, every shul, a real shul, if you don't have a candy man in a shul, then you're not a shul. It's part of the charter. In order to get a license to the synagogue, you have to have a candy man. So today, going to over here, you know, they have these candy stores. They have things. I don't even recognize even one of these. In my day, we're on the Lower East Side, you candy. You go to Zilberstein, right? What's his name?
I never heard of it.
There's a little grocery store on East Broadway. The entire section of candy that existed for the entire Lower East Side was about the size. Zilberstein's, right?
Where? Closer to the Edith building?
Where were Krasner lives. There was a little, next to the bakery. Next to the bakery.
Next to the bakery was Cohen's Dairy, and then it became from the M&M boys.
What was the name? I don't remember. No. There's a little store, and all the candy in the world, and you can fit in one or two shelves. That was... Yeah, licorice, you know, the old spinning and this. Now you go to pomegranate. Woo! You have two aisles. You go to Mount Food.
Oh, nuts.
It's not just nuts, boy. What they have them. Okay, so in the old days, so today there's a candy. In the old days, there was also a candy man. A candy man is nothing new. Candy man goes back 1,000 years, according to the Oitzeh Hayidius from Gershon. He cites all the sources, Eisenberger. Oh. No, for the adults? The adults?
Oh, it was for the kids.
The kids?
That was the origin of the minute.
Okay, but the kids.
They had a shackle in front of the guy. He said, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't hear that.
That's the origin.
Okay. But what about Yom Kippur? It seems there was a minute to give the children nuts. Egoism. The candy in the ancient days was nuts. Walnuts, almonds. There was no such thing as giving them sugar. Nuts. That was called the king.
Also by the Seder you would give out.
Right. Mechalkin egoizim litinoigoyim. And Rosh Hashanah did not give out nuts. On Yom Kippur there was a minute to give nuts in shul to the children, zman mincha. The candy man was in operation. When it came to mincha, the kids would line up and he would give out to them nuts. My high. So I'll tell you the pshat, I'll tell you the drush. The pshat is inu nefesh. So the adults should suffer. Only what it says. Because it's now it's man mincha. Shachris, the adults are not interested in nuts. Because they're going to go to the kirsch club soon. They'll have what to drink. They'll have their own candy
Rahab
soon.
Rahab says not to eat nuts until after 4 hours in the day, at least, or more. Because
it doesn't digest well. You got to get your body up with. They would give out nuts. Why? Because there's a din, there's a principle which today is really unheard of, I think, pretty much. To bring upon yourself at the end of Yom Kippur, inui, bring upon yourself suffering. This is the principle which is not for the faint of heart, and it requires a lot of emunah to understand how this works. It's a very deep concept. There is an inui towards the end of the day, some say the entire day. I'll give you a couple of examples of how this principle was applied to halacha, is to bring upon yourself inui, suffering. For example, there is a minhag, an ancient minhag, to stand the entire ni'ilah. Why? You open up the aron, and the aron is open, so you stand. The truth is, just because the aron is open, you do not need to stand. Maker Adin, if a person cannot stand when the aron is open, you're allowed to sit down. The Sifrei Torah are in their own domain. They're in their own rishus. They're in the aron HaKodesh, it's a separate entity. There's no halachic requirement to stand when the Oroin is open. There is a minhag. Don't be memayit in the minhag. The only time a person is required al pi halacha to stand is when the Sefer Torah is in motion. When you take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron and you move with the Sefer Torah to the Bima, then there is a halach requirement by Yibin so Aron, there is a halach requirement to stand. But when the Aron, the Sefer Torah is on the Bima, or the Sefer Torah is resting in the Aron HaKadosh and it's visible, there's no requirement according to halacha to stand. It is in its own rishus. However,
even on the opening of the
yes. Even on the opening of the Aron.
Even so,
only when it's in motion. The only time there is an obligation in Indian to stand is only when the Sefer Torah is in motion. If it's not in motion, there is no halachic requirement. When it's in stationary, it's not required. There is a minhag. Everyone that we open the Aron HaKodesh for the entire Ne'ilah. The entire Ne'ilah, right? Whenever the Aron HaKodesh is open, you stand. You're supposed to stand whenever you open the Aron HaKodesh. Not everyone can do. You know, the Musaf, you open the Aron HaKodesh multiple times. So you know, people should, if they can, obviously they should. Not everyone has to stand the whole time. Depends what you're having. But Ne'ilah, there is an ancient custom. They open the Aron with Ash, with Psicha, with Ovois. When the shatz begins, Hashem Sifosai Tiftach, they open the Aron. It's not closed until after Hashem Ulukim, until they say Hashem Ulukim seven times. And Memeila, once it's opened, it's Sibur stands. Why are you torturing everyone to stand? So it's this is what it says, is that a person at the end of Yom Kippur should bring upon himself discomfort, voluntarily. And you need a lot of emunah to accept this concept. The discomfort you suffer at that time will take away any discomfort, real discomfort, agmas nefesh, that one would have throughout the entire year. That it's bashert for a person to have yisurim. What kind of yisurim? Gridlock alert. You'll be. You know, and there's a lot worse than that. You're on the way back from the country. You're stuck in traffic for 3 hours. Standstill. Person would stand by Ne'ilah for 3 minutes, and you know, my feet are really hurting me. I want to sit down. Do you realize you standing 3 minutes has just obliterated 3 hours or 10 hours of sitting in traffic and all that agmas nefesh, and I don't want to say worse, a lot worse of sitting by doctors, Rahman al-Islam, and all these horrible things. There is such a principle. You don't hear people talk about this, I think, because we're not on a madrega. I don't know what to say. We're not on a madrega to really that it should work. Maybe today, who says we're on a madrega that the inui we have on Yom Kippur is going to wipe away inui that would have been meant for us during the year? Is that really true for every single person? Are we on the madrega? Is this something which requires special emuna? I don't know. But this is what. Yeah. So there are people, there is a minhag. I remember someone who used to do this. They would stand, I thought they were crazy. And I see over here, they're not crazy. It says the Beferish. There was someone that I knew who stood the entire Yom Kippur. From the moment he woke up in the morning, he did not sit down. He stood the entire Yom Kippur when he woke up until Hashem Hu Elokim.
A little man like that also.
Kera, Baruch Harwitz also knew a person.
I didn't teach my boys that.
He's the power of the Chabad.
A Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. There were people who did this. They stood the entire Yom Kippur. Now let me clarify. The main reason why they do that is because to be doime to a malach. One of the attributes of a malach is a malach does not sit. A malach is an omed. A malach stands. There's no such principle by malachim as sitting. Hashem is Yoishev, Yoishev. Hashem is a Yoishev, and the malachim that surround him are Oimed. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur only, we are Doimed to malachim. We say Baruch Shem out loud. We do not eat. And other things that we do, where we resemble the Malachi Hashores. And one of the examples that is done to resemble the Malachi Hashores is to stand the entire davening, not just the davening, even when you're not davening, the entire day. Obviously, this is not for the faint of heart, yeah?
Erev Yom Kippur, when we say right before Kol Nidre,
the Tzilazaka.
It says the inui of now.
Oh, the Taka says that.
Surin,
Okay, but that Pashup Shah means the inu that the Torah demands of you. The Torah only demands of you, you don't add to what the Torah says. Do not eat, do not drink, sicha, all the things that it says, the five inuyim, that's the inu. Through the inu of Yom Kippurim, it should take away from any discomfort that we would, that would be decreed upon us going forward in the next year. But there are minhagim where people add it to the five inuim. Now, it's a very dangerous thing. You don't just add on your own unless you have a mesora. There is such a thing. One of the things is standing. Standing is not fun. It's very painful to stand for a prolonged period of time. So it's hard to find people who say that are going to stand the entire day. That's really way over the top. But ni'ila, people, many people who can, who are able, they do stand, young, especially Bachrim people, young people, they stand the entire ni'ila. They really stand. And why are they doing so? Number one, domer to malach. And number two, adarab. If you're standing to be domer to a malach, be part of the urn is open, and you feel that inui, good. Relish in that inui. Because every moment that you relish, that you accept that inui, it will, alpi misoira, it will be machaper, and take away inui that would be far, far worse going forward later in the year. Now, how long is ni'ila? Ni'ila, a good ni'ila is an hour and 15 minutes. Right. Let's now pose the question to the Gabbai of the Gabbayim, Rabbi Baruch Horowitz, how long did you give Rabbi Zitzholz for ni'ila?
An hour
and a
half, an hour and 40.
No. Yeah.
It was an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, you see, I was mechav. An hour and 15 minutes. Lechatchila. I once davened.
Right.
Oh, you mean, you, right, fine, right. But you gave like on the clock. Many shuls.
Right.
An average ni'ila across the board, except in the big yeshivas, they love to stretch it out. They give more time, but you look at all most shuls, they'll give an hour and 10 minutes. Look at they give an hour and 10 minutes most shuls, even an hour and 15.
Yeah, I'd rather be early than late.
Right, right. Yeah. You don't want to have rush. You want to have. It takes a lot of talent. That's standing. You're going to be standing for an hour and 15 minutes. That's a long time. And then you have Marv. You have Marv afterwards. Marv afterwards, no one's worried about. You're not worried about Marv afterwards. But it's a long time to stand. An hour and 15 minutes. And again, the reason, there are two reasons. Number one, to be doimah to a malach. And number two, to voluntarily bring upon yourself additional inui, as if it's not bad enough to be fasting and hungry and tired and have a headache and a coffee and a caffeine withdrawal symptoms. No, you have to add more inui, l'shem shamayim. This is a very hechra madrega to appreciate what that means, to be mekabel more inui for this 1 hour and 15 minutes, in order that this inui that I'm being mekabel l'shem shamayim should be mechaper on Averois, so that going forward will be a bracha. And the proof to this is a very powerful idea. It says that, I don't have the whole thing in front of me right now, but it'll take too long to go find all the words. It's that there's a very famous Chazal say that a person, the Gemara goes through all of the different types of teshuvah. And a mitzvah saseh, if a person was mevatel, the rabbanon, you do this, and I say this. What about Rachmana Litzon Kores? The person that lois saseh, Malkois. You need malchus. Let's say a person that did a car race, he needs to bring a carbon, let's say b'shoigeg. What about other averos? In addition to the entire process of teshuva, you also need Yom HaKippurim. And then the Gemara says, there are certain types of averos that are so bad, even doing teshuva and passing through Yom Kippur is not enough. You need Yisurim. You need Teshuvah. You need Yom Kippur. And you need Yisurim. So the Pashup Shah in the Gemara is that throughout life, a person is going to have situations that are very uncomfortable. And that's the Kapara. So you say, no, that's not what it means. You don't have to, it doesn't mean throughout life you're going to have Yisurim. And that's going to problems in life, and that's going to be mechaper. The whole Gemara is discussing Yom Kippur. There are certain averos that you can easily be mechaper. Some averos are more serious. Other averos, you need Yom Kippur. And some averos are so bad, you need to bring upon yourself yisurim on Yom Kippur to be mechaper. When the Gemara says that there's some averos that Yom Kippurim is not enough, and you need yisurim, whoever says it means that you have to have yisurim throughout your life. It means on Yom Kippur. If on Yom Kippur you're standing for another hour and 15 minutes and you're not in the mood, you're just not in the mood to stand. I can't stand it. I'm very, very weak and tired. The Aron is open. No, so I'm going to be Mekel. The Sefer Torah is his own Rishus. I don't have to stand. I'll sit. You know what? I'm going to go out of my way to stand because I want to fulfill what it says in the Gemara that there are some averos that are so severe. Even Yom Kippur alone is not enough. You need Yom Kippur plus Yisurim. So let's get it over with. Let's get it over with. Let me stand for an hour and 50 minutes to walk in the park compared to dealing with other issues in life later on. Okay, this is a tremendous chiddush, but there's obviously, this is a misra. You see people do this, some people do this, they don't know why they do this. I remember this person, I knew he did this. I don't think he understood why he did it. He says his father did this all the time. So his father did it, he's going to do it. I thought it was like, what is it all about? You know, but obviously there is a misra, there is something to this, and with this maima chazal of Yom Kippur is not enough, you have to have Yisurim. So you have Yisurim by standing and suffering. Now going back to the nuts, that's the reason why you distribute nuts. You know why there's a candy man? Not for the children. Come on. They have plenty of nash stashed away. They don't need your nuts. It's in order to torture the adults. Because the adults, they're the ones who want some candy. They want that licorice. Oh, they want that popcorn. They want all that sodium. They're chalishing for all that sugar, sweet and sour stuff. So when you see, you give the kids in front of your eyes, here's a delicious candy. And the adult, you go, here, why don't you hand it to him? I can't reach the child. You, I see you're really hungry. Why don't you look at the ingredients and hand the candy to the child? Stop and pause and look at what a delicious treat we're giving him. That's torture. You're torturing him. That's right. You're supposed to torture the adults at the end of Yom Kippur in order to increase their inui so that it will be a kapara. Yom Kippurim, some averos. Yom Kippurim is not enough. You have to have yisurim. Let's get it over with.
I thought that mothers are allowed to give the children food.
Yeah.
Inui.
Prepare. You're allowed to prepare.
The mothers can do it, but a stranger to go
to. Yeah. That's what it says. In the shul. In shul. This is all. I told you when we started, our disclaimer. A lot of things we don't do today, but this is what it says. They would give out in shul, zman mincha, to children egoism. Why? What do they need the nuts for? They already ate lunch. They had breakfast. What are you giving them? It's bedafka. Because you want them to come to shul? You don't want them to come to shul. They're going to disturb the davening. It's none of the above. It's not because they're hungry. It's not because you want them to come to davening. It's because you want to torture the adults. Lahaches, to torture them. Why? The more inu you have today on Yom Kippurim, believe me, it'll save you big time later on in the year. Again, this is a principle which you know, is not... This is not a hocus-pocus religion. Gotta be very careful. This is a very deep concept, and it needs a maturity.
What I'm saying is you're better at inflicting yourself than
yes.
Hashem. You know better than Hashem.
No, you don't know better than Hashem. No, that's what's very dangerous. See, that's why this vart is a very dangerous vart. You can't do something like this. You can't on your own invent such a principle like this. Oh, I have a great idea. Since we're going to suffer anyway, so let's now bring suffering upon ourselves, and now we'll wipe it out. You can't. That's a ridiculous thing to do.
Turn down.
Oh.
some of us might think it's
pleasure. Oh, you're saying good, okay? Or turn up the air conditioner. The women, boy, they come with coats.
Yes.
Okay. Let's now go to the next. That's a good. I wanted to say the reason why you give out nuts. Derech Drush doesn't say this is because to remind people, egois is bigamatria chait. Rabbeisai, don't forget to do teshuva. Time is running out. Zman mincha, you give out nuts. Everyone knows nuts. We just passed through Rosh Hashanah. Everyone knows that in Rosh Hashanah you don't give out nuts. You don't eat nuts. Egois is bigamatria chait. And now at the end in the Ila, start passing around nuts to politely remind the people it's either now or never. Now is the time to step up to the plate and do teshuva because time is running out. Or you can say, like you say, but the Sar Shom Shel Bells is by Pesach. What does the Sar Shom Shel Bells say on Pesach night? The first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is Mechalkin Egoizim Litino Egoiz. You distribute nuts to the children. We spoke about this. Why? Pashat Shad Kedei She Yishalu Hatino Egoiz. What does the Sar Shalom Shel Bells say? The nuts that you give out to the children Pesach night are the nuts that you did not give them on the night of Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to go to O Nuts and buy kosher LePesach nuts and bring them to the table the night of Rosh Hashanah and say, Kindelach, would you like some nuts? Delicious kosher LePesach nuts, Erev Rosh Hashanah. No, I'm not giving you these nuts because this nut is bigamatria chait. So you know what? Let's put it away with the Pesach things. You put it away,
get full of worms,
and then by the night of Pesach, you take it out, and now you give them those nuts. And the Kiddelach will say, why? Rosh Hashanah, you told us not to eat the nuts. Chet. Because Rosh Hashanah was Teshuvah Meyira. Teshuvah Meyira, Zidonis Naseh Kishkogois. In Elul, the Teshuvah is Me'ahava. And the Zidonis Naseh Kizuchuyois. Now we can have the nuts. The same thing. Yom HaKippurim is a Zman of Teshuvah, maybe after Meira and Me'ava. You've gone through the whole Yosh Hashanah, it's Din, it's the year, Yiras HaRemus. Now when you come to the end of the Ila, it's a time to be Me'oir Rachamim with Ahava. And now, give out the nuts! The nuts that you did not give the children the night of Rosh Hashanah, Teshuvah Meira. When you get to the very, very end of Ni'ila, now is a shtickle to Shuvah Me'ahava after working on yourself for 10 days, and now the Zedoinis Naseh Kizuchuyos. Okay, next idea. Now, by the way, there's no inyan whatsoever that women should stand. Women should stand on Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Narayim, because the Iker time why we stand is to be doimet to malachim, to angels. There is no such thing anywhere that an isha should be doimet to a malach.
Really?
There is no such thing. It sounds very, yeah. Doesn't sound 21st century. It sounds like you get into law, you lose your job for saying that. But that's what it says. This principle of being doimet to malachim does not apply to nashim. I'll tell you very pashut why it doesn't apply to them. Because Adam really, to a degree, comes from a malach. Because Hashem said to the Malachi Hashareis, Naseh, Naseh Adam. Hashem consulted with the Malachim. There's a shtickle Malach in every person because Hashem, in his humility, in order to teach humility to man, Hashem said, let me go ask the Malachim to teach man. Naseh Adam, B'loshen Rabim. But when Hashem created Isha, Hashem did not say Naseh. Hashem says, E'eseh. Loi Ezer Kinegda. Hashem did not consult with the angels when he created an Isha. So there's no shtickle malach in an Isha. I explained to you last week, that's why men are horrible multitaskers and women can multitask like in a breeze. A woman can be, she's on the phone, she's doing laundry, doing homework with the children, she's running her own business, which makes more money than the husband, and she's organizing chesed projects, and she's cooking. Women have this very, very natural ability to multitask. Most men cannot walk and chew gum at the same time. It's a fact. It's a reality. They cannot. Where does that come from? Why is that so? Because Adam was created with the participation, with the consultation of the Malachim. Na'aseh Adam. Every child knows a malach only has one mission. A malach only has one job. A malach does not have more than one job. There is no such thing as multitasking by a malach. Learned by Avraham, the malachim came, there were three malachim, each one had a job. Hashem didn't send one malach to do everything. One malach, one job. Nashim, e'eseh adam. Hashem did not consult with the malachim. Hashem is the ultimate multitasker. Hashem is everywhere at every single moment in time. Hashem is having the same moment in time. Therefore, Nashim is built into the DNA of their spiritual existence of multitasking. Whereas Adam, because Hashem said Naaseh, and Hashem, in his humility, consulted with the Malachi Hasharis, that element of Malachi Hasharis has entered into man. A Malach cannot, there's only one mission. Man has a hard time doing more than one thing at a time. Nashim, there is no such principle by Nashim to be doma to a Malach. So you'll ask, so Nashim Takosh, Nashim shouldn't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso loud. Nashim should not dress in white on Yom Kippur. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. There were minhagim where Nashim all dressed in white on Yom Kippurim.
And white apron.
What?
Why should women?
It's Gezeres Hakasa. That you can't get away from. You can't get away from that. You can't get away. That's a Gezer. We're talking about minhagim. And minhagim, then there's much more room. All right, let's go further. Let's go further. There's an inyan to feed your animals. Did you know this? To feed your animals in Yom Kippur. Now, it's interesting because in Yoina, it says, you know, when they fasted, this is a very fascinating thing, when they fasted, Ninveh, when they fasted, it's a whole pasuk, they were goyzer, the king was goyzer, and the leaders, everyone has to fast, including the animals. There was a decree, do not feed the animals. Man and animal have to fast to do teshuvah. Isn't that amazing? What kind of concept is that? That's what it says in the pasuk in Yonah. No, all the animals should not be fed, they have to fast. What? They all have to fast, but Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as an atainis not to feed the animals. Adarabba, there's a minig, an ancient minig, to feed the animals that you're mechuyev. You're not allowed to feed stray animals. That's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to feed an animal that you're not responsible for. But if you have animals that you are responsible for, you're mechuyev. You're allowed to, and you're mechuyev to feed them, especially on Yom Kippurim, in order to be me'oirer the rachamov al kol ma'asav. Give hafsaka. So today, you know, Chaim will give hafsaka for limud hamusar. Hafsaka to feed the horses. Feed the horses. Kiddush for the horses on Yom Kippurim. Make kiddush for the horses. Why? Verachamav al kol ma'asav. Next, with the kedusha, we all know that with the kedusha, we recite the four times, we recite the kedusha of Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidai. We do not recite the regular Kedusha and Shmon Esrei, but Shacharis, Musaf, of course, Mincha and Ni'ilah, it's the same Kedusha, the Kedusha that we ordinarily cite only on Musaf, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a much higher Madrega. That Musaf, when you say, is no Tachlis Hayidia Sheneida Shaloineida. A Tachlis Hayidia Sheneida Shaloineida. The ultimate purpose of knowledge is to know that we do not know. When you say the kedusha of Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidai, it's an acknowledgement that you've reached a higher level. We fool ourselves and think that we know everything. But what once a week comes Musaf, you say Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoyimai, Kivoidai Mole Rachamim Mesharsav Shayalim Zelozeh. That's a very high level. It's a very high level to acknowledge that what you think you know, you don't really know. You think you know Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. Where's his makom? Where's his makom? To come to the realization that you don't really know, that Hashem is so exalted, he's so above and beyond. Ayei Mikoyim Kivoid, that's a very sublime level. And that's reserved only for special moments. The entire year we only say that at Musaf, but on Yom Kippur only four times a day we say the higher level of Kedusha, and the focus is, the key words is Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidei. And it's for that reason we don't do this today, but you look at a good machzar, the shatz, it used to be the meaning that the shatz would be ma'arich in the word Ayei. He would sing a melody when he said, Ayei, where is it? Why would, and at that time, the tzibur would open up their machzar, and they would say various piyutim tefilos in order to be me'oirer. Some do it still, but the shatz has to participate. The shatz has to give you time. I don't know, they're not too many. Okay, so they used to be, they would give you a lot of time. Why specifically on Ayei Mikoyim Kivoidai? That's a moment of humility. because the whole year we fool ourselves in thinking that we know it all. We know why this happened. We know why that happened. We know why the Holocaust happened. We know why COVID happened. We know everything. Big groyser chachamim, the chacham from the Manish Tana. And every once in a while, you get a little shaken up and you come to the realization, we know nothing. We think we know where the Kavod Hashem is. We know where it is. At Musaf Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're a little humbled. We're humbled due to the sublime nature of the day. So we say, you know what? We taka don't know. Tachlis hayidia sheneda shaloi neda. When you say ayay, Mikoyim kivoidoi, it is a statement of humility. I have to come to the realization that who am I fooling? I know nothing. I don't understand the purpose of this of creation. I don't know where exactly is the true honor of Hashem where it's to be found. It's a very holy moment. And therefore, when you say the words ayay mikoyim kivoidoi, a person humbles himself, it's a very appropriate time to be mevakesh rachamim. There's no greater koyach of tefillah than to be in a state of humility. And on Yom Kippur, we have that opportunity four times, because all four of the kedushas, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, we say the kedusha that we ordinarily say at Musaf, where we say the words Ayei Mikoyim Kivoydei. Okay, Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, we have the special. Let's talk about Mincha for a moment. Okay, Mincha, which melody does the Baal Kriya chant when he lanes at Mincha? So I think everyone here, you go back to the regular laning. You go back to the regular, that's everything I've always seen, correct? You lane, what is the Nigun?
Yeah?
Yeah,
I mean, I see people who do both ways.
Even the brachas are made in the regular.
The regular, the brachas, to go to the laning, the brachas are varachas, as generally speaking, the Nigun of Mincha is the Nigun of the weekday, of a regular Shabbos. You don't have the melody of the Yomim Noirohim. I vaguely remember the Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Rav Yosher Ber from Boston. He explains that the reason why we're makbit to lane the Nigun of the weekday is to show that the Mincha is a din of a tainus. The Atzvei Dinim in Yom Kippur. There's a din of V'inisim es nafsho seichem, ki b'yoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem, letahar eschem mikol chato seichem, lefnei Hashem titaru. And that concept goes through Shachris, Musaf, and Ni'ilah. But Mincha is not a din Yom Kippur. The whole sprach of Mincha is a din tainis sivur. We incorporate into the Yoyim HaTzoyim, the Yoyim HaKadosh, a regular tiny sibur, that and to show that it's not a chelik of ki b'yoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem, but it's a tiny sibur. That's why we lane with the regular nigun of the weekday, not of Yoyim HaKippur. Now I have to tell you over here, this is the book. This is the telephone book. He says all the sources. He does cite that there are really authentic minhagim that you should lane in the nigun of the yamim noiraim. Now he says something here shocking, which I need more understanding what he says. He cites, says, and says, what exactly is this melody that we lane on the yamim noiraim? Hashem pakades oroh kasher amor. Where does it come from? Where does that nigun come from? Where does it come from? Who made it up? This is a Messiah going back. My Sabratius, where does it come from? So he says something shocking, and again, we need to really study if this is true. This was the melody that they taught children. In other words, there's only one nusach to lane. Shabbos, on Shabbos. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Right? There's one melody, v'zehu. There's a haftarah melody, good. And there are melodies, Eicha, Megillas Esther, Koheles, okay. Yamim Noirohim, it's not part of the set. If you buy the CD, it's not part of the set. It's not part of the collection of Nigunim for Kriyas HaTorah that was handed down Misinai. I'm telling you now, a Chiddush Noirah, and if it's true, it's a shock to me if this is really true. But listen, It says it in the telephone book, so I'm going to tell you what it says. He says, this was the nigun that they taught children. You go to Tinoiko Shol Beis Rabban, going back maybe 1,000 years ago. You go to a yeshiva, and you hire the Rebbe, the Rebbe who taught the Kindlach Torah. That's the nigun they taught them. Vahashem Pokare Soroka. It was that sprach. And the Yamim Noiroim, we're all Kindlach. We're all attempting to be mitayer from our chatoim, to be pure like the Tinoikoi Shol Beis Rabban. The Oilam only continues to exist in the zuchus of the Hevel Piv of the Tinoikoi Shol Beis Rabban. So when you're laying on the Yamim Noiroim, we're all children. We're Kindlach. It's Me'oirer zuchus. And if we were living in those times, when that melody would be the melody of elementary, of first grade and kindergarten, it would have an effect on us like we could not even believe. Well, you're teaching us the words about Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. You teach Torah. It's the ultimate form of Talmud Torah. You open up the Torah and you read what it says. It's the most basic form of Talmud Torah. So here we are, we come to shul, all very sophisticated people, multi-millionaires, multi-billionaires, heads of state, people who are in charge of departments, in hospitals, people who have law firms, real sophisticated, accomplished people, people that are well-educated, PhDs, postdoctorates, scientists, and here you come to shul, and they teach you Torah as if you're sitting in kindergarten. Can you imagine? I have a PhD. I'm coming here to shul on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What is this, kindergarten? You're teaching me Torah in the same melody that you teach children? Yeah, you're in kindergarten today. Humble yourself. Humble yourself on the Yom HaDin. That's what it says here. It's a shocking thing to me. I would think that this nigun, Hashem, Pokad HaSoy, the nigun of Yom Ram. Is mamish, like, you know, it's very powerful. No, you laying this on Simchas Torah as well. Wow, this is heavy nigun. This probably goes back to the Beis Hamikdash, goes back to Sinai. No, if it goes back to Sinai, it only goes back to Sinai that this is how the nigun that you should teach Kindlach. It's not the nigun that you should chant in the Beis HaKnesses for the adults. That was not part of the plan.
What about Kol Nidre?
That's another story. Kol Nidre is another nigun. That's a different nigun. That's these nigun. There's a mesura. These nigun go way, way back. Okay, Aleinu, Avos. There are certain melodies that have a mesura. There's certain motifs. The motif, the ikur yisod of the nigun goes back. That's what the cement the
by mincha.
Yeah.
You're saying it's because it's a
kind of. That's a bar of Yosheber. Of Yosheber says.
That you're doing.
Oh, so let's talk about the Kriya. So why do we learn the parsha of Arai? So there are two major reasons. Basically, everyone says the same two reasons. Is it's either now or never. Okay, give me 1 second. It's either because Arayos, Rachman al-Son is Naver, that everyone is Nichsholim, not Chas v'Shalom Mamish, but Hira Vera, a person cannot control his thoughts, and it's part of a healthy male has an issue with Hirhurim, arayos, forbidden thoughts, which Rachman Litzlan can come out, you know, in the arayos. And Mamela, the day is ending. Did you do teshuvah? It's now or never. It's a polite reminder. You better do teshuvah. That's one reason. That's really the main reason. The other reason is we're gonna. It's a siyum of the kriya of the morning. We land in the morning, the beginning of Acharei Mois. We land in the beginning of the morning, you know, the whole Seder HaAvodah. So now by Mincha, we want to land more. Therefore, what are we going to land? What should we land? So
then you should go back to the same shop.
You should go back. I am part of Mitzvah. Saka some do go back to the same shop. These are nafkaminas. You are right. These are nafkaminas. What you should lay. The minute today it appears, and as far as my limited awareness is, 95% of the population lanes the regular nigun of the week and of Shabbos. That's what appears every place I've been at. That's what they always did. And that's on the minute. Rav Yoshe Ber, he develops the whole thing. It's because it's to show that it's a din of Tainis Sibur. It's not a din of the Seder Hayoim. Okay, there are Ayam Parim L'Torah. He cites here that there was some mincha. No, Adarabba, mincha, you have to lay like the minute in the morning. And then there's a separate idea. Why do you lay? Is it because of is due to Shuvah? Number two, it's because if you're going to lay in the afternoon, you're going to dear Shuvah, you're going to lay Vayechal Moshe. Whoever, by the way, whoever, like, we're not going to lay in Vayechal Moshe. Whoever says Yishlei Vayechal Moshe, Bechlal, by the way, on a tiny Sibur, it's a Chiddush. That's not what it says in the Gemara. You don't lay in Vayechal Moshe. You lay in the Techocha. Somehow it became our minig to lay in Vayechal Moshe on a tiny Sibur. Yom HaKippurim, you need to lay in something. So instead of mishing the Torah all over, just continue where you left off, pretty
that's
much. Watch that. What?
That's what a lot of posts say, that people have to eat on the kippah.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be oila in the morning because it's Yom Tov. But by the mincha, they can't be oila.
It's in a tiny sibur. It's in a tiny. So why are we letting this? Again, don't ask the question. We should be letting vayechal, because the truth is, on a regular time of sibur, where does it say to lay vayechal? The Gemara says in the time of sibur, you're supposed to lay the toichacha. On Yom Tov, you never lay by mincha, so it's unique. So what are we going to lay? Just continue where you left off. Now it's not exactly you have to skip. It's not exactly a continuation. You skip a whole section. But basically, you continue where you left off. Vezehu. Another reason, this is a scary reason, this reason is a very interesting reason, and I think the Rishonim, maybe the Oruch says this, the Rishonim say this, is because we say to Hashem, you told us, gave us a mitzvah, lois sigale ervas so-and-so. Don't uncover the nakedness, okay, which homiletically means don't hang up someone's dirty laundry. That's not the right way to say it. Lois segale, don't be megale the erva of so and so. Hashem, don't be megale our erva. We are politely using this Kriya Satorah as a way of begging Hashem, don't be megale our erva. Don't expose our disgrace. Here we are, it's the Yom Hadin, we're passing before you. And don't uncover our sins before the Bezin Shalmaila, before you. Because if you're going to reveal all of our sins, we're finished. Then we don't have a chance. Don't be Megala our Erva. You told us that we should not be Megala someone else's Erva. So you, Hashem, also don't be Megala our Erva. We shouldn't him say this. Okay? That's the third shot is why we lay in the Arayos. So we gave it three reasons. Number one.
The
yeah.
one that says, one that I think the Mount Zoran is saying here is that we want to list a whole bunch of things that most of us don't
right.
do.
No, that we don't do.
We don't do, so we're trying to
say, I never heard that before. I hear what you're saying. That's a whole different
mouth. All these things I'm not
okay.
over on.
That's not over on. Okay, you know, this
well,
here.
I read that somewhere.
It's a chiddush. Okay, I hear it's a chiddush. Halavai, halavai.
One of the three things again.
Number one, it's just continue where you left off. It's very simple. Continue your left. What are you going to lay now? The Toichacha. What do you want to lay? Vayichal. You want to lay? What are you going to lay now? Chazal, so you know what? Let's make it very simple. Just continue where you left off.
Okay.
Number two, many people are nichshol in arayos. Na chas v'sholayim. And all the things that it says there, God forbid. But in the gather of the taivas noshim, in the kedusha of what is demanded of us, every person can do better. Shmir Sinayim, v'chulu, all these things. You need to do teshuvah. Did you do teshuvah? It's now or never. The day is almost over. It's a polite reminder. Chazal selected this because they wanted to give us a polite reminder. Don't forget to do teshuvah for this inyan. Everyone can do better in this matter. If you're a healthy adult male, then there's what to do teshuvah. There's what you mechazik yourself in and do teshuvah. And number three is Hashem, we say, we're laying this as a bakasha to Hashem. Hashem, you told us not to be megale, to reveal the erva, which homiletically means the nakedness, I mean, you will understand what that means homiletically. Don't reveal someone, don't be megala the erva of so-and-so. Hashem, don't be megala our erva. Don't uncover us and reveal all of our sins before the Bezin Shalmaila, the Pamalia Shalmaila, on this moment when we are begging for our lives. Now, we're maftir Yoina. Why Yoina? Why are we maftir? It's a very long Yoina. I was telling you before, the meal is an hour and 10, 15 minutes. I once stopped in the minion. Boy, did they blow it. They blew it so big, it's unbelievable. The Gabbai, he wanted to give Yoina to someone. I know, there wasn't a place where they auctioned things off, whatever they gave. And they wanted to give the Adam Choshev. But this guy, he's like slow motion beyond belief. So they gave him maftir. And he read Yoina, like, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Leimo.
Why so quick?
Why so quick? He lay in the whole Yoina like that. He took up 20 minutes of the Ne'ilah. He ruined the whole Ne'ilah.
Not so long, I've heard long.
He laid, Yonah's very long. Yonah is not a short.
20 minutes is not so long. For
no, I didn't say I'm not saying that. No, he really. What? No, they left an hour and 15 minutes. That, I know the guy. I made the calendar there. An hour and 15 minutes. And the person who did Yoina, he went over time at least 10 minutes, 15 minutes, more than he should have. He laned it extremely slow. He's not street smart, this guy. And no one can say anything to him. You're not going to go fight with him on Yom Kippur. Okay, so he laned it very slow. And it took away from the Neil had to be rushed up. You gotta be very careful who you give Yoina to make sure that it's not usually a problem, but you never know. Why do we learn Yoina? Why do we learn Yoina? The simple answer in Farshim is the message. There are hundreds of messages in Yoina, but one of the most basic elementary reasons is you can't escape from Hashem. There's no escape. Yoina tried to escape. He tried to escape. He had a mission. Forget about doing Ninveh, doing Teshuvah. You know, this Teshuvah, Avada. The whole Yom Kippur is about Teshuvah. We lane Yoina to teach you about Teshuvah. The whole day is Teshuvah. Seriously, made Teshuvah. Okay, let's do something different for Mincha. That's right. The unique nature of that Yoina that you don't have anywhere else in the Nusach HaTfilah is you can't escape. You can run, but you can't hide. It's Yom HaDin. Well, you think you're going to keep a low profile. You're going to sit in the back, and the teacher's not going to call on you. Yoina, he tried to escape again and again. Hashem, you want me to go on this mission? I don't want this mission. There's not going to be good results for Klal Yisrael. Yoina, he went this and this. Yoina, you can't escape. Every person has to know. There's a Yom HaDin. You can't escape from Hashem. That is a basic, elementary, powerful message of Yoina. Don't give the answer. The reason why we learn Yoina is because he teach you the koyach of tshuva. Ninveh was about to be obliterated. And Yoina arrives and he says, do tshuva, you're all going to die. And the melech, we're going to do tshuva. He takes off his garment. This year is very good. Everyone knows in Malchus. King Charles, everyone knows what it's like to have a melech and wear these fancy royal garments. He took off his adartoi, his cloak, and he put on sackcloth, and he fasted, and he told all the animals have to fast also. And they did tshuva, and they were saved. No, it's too simplistic. That's not what it's about. The main message of Yoina, there are hundreds of messages, but the message you cannot distance from is there's no escape. There is no escape. Okay, let's talk about some other quick things over here. Ein kel lokenu. How come? Isn't it very weird? We don't say the Ketores. Ein kel lokenu. Ein kel lokenu. Ein ka doinehenu. Ein kel malkenu. Ein kel moshenu. Where did that go in the Siddur? It disappeared. Kavel Hashem chazav. That whole section of that we say on a regular Shabbos. Pit magderes ketsad hatzadiv yatzipon achilman v'halavayna mishkal shishim shishma. What happened to the whole nusach of the air? Gone. They finished musaf. Hayoyim ta'am tseinu. Amavarech esenlo yisrael ba'ashalayim. Kadesh shalayim. Break. Everyone go to sleep. Come back for mincha. We're not finished davening yet. What happened to Aleinu? The yom, either they said by Shachris, before Shachris, they say it now. But what happened to Ein Kel Elokeinu? Where did that go? What happened to that? So there really are no good answers. The common answer is, why do we say Ein Kel Elokeinu on Shabbos? You have to go back to the Ikar Mikor. Why do we say it on Shabbos? So one of the reasons that we say is because Shabbos is very hard to be mashlim mea brachos, 100 blessings, because the Shemoneh Esrei is very short. So there are techniques that are done in order to pair the davening. We should have 100 blessings. One of the techniques is to recite Ein Kel Elokeinu, because in Ein Kel Elokeinu, what do we say? Ein Kel Elokeinu, me. How many times? Four or five times. Ein Kel Elokeinu, Ein Kel Elokeinu. You say a whole series of Ein Kel Elokeinu, then you say a whole series of Mi Kel Elokeinu, Mi Kadonenu, Mi Kemoshenu, and then we say a series of No Del Elokeinu, No Del Alenu. So it's Aleph Ein, it is Mem Mi, and it is Nun No Del Aleph Mem Nun is Amen. Aleph Mem Nun. And then we say, Baruch Elokeinu, Baruch Adonenu, Baruch Moshenu, Baruch. So we have a Baruch, and we have an Amen. I think five times, right? Five times? So that is equivalent to five brachos. Because the Iker Chelik of a Baruch is Baruch, Baruch. Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Kel Melech is the Amen, the beginning of the Baruch. Amen. The end of the bracha is the response. Kel Melech Neman. Amen. So this piyut was added to the nusach of tefillah on Shabbos for one reason only. In order to help us be mashlim to a degree the mea brachos. Mo Hashem Elokecha shoyel me'imach kiyim liyire oisai. Al tikre mo ela mea. This is a long Mishnah Berurah, everyone knows this. How do you get 100 brachos? Go to the calculation. Yom Kippur, on Shabbos, we have a problem because we have short Shemoneh Esrei. So we do techniques. There are techniques in this brachos. So wherever you go to the calculation. And one of the things that you can fall back on, b'diavad, is the piyut of Ein Kel Elokeinu, Mi Kadonenu, Nodel Elokeinu, Baruch Elokeinu. That's Amen, and that's Baruch, and that accounts to a token fulfillment of another five blessings. On Yom Kippurim, we do not need that. Why don't we need that? It's not really a good answer, and that's what's not a satisfying answer, because we have a Nila, and because we have Nila, we have another whole Shemoneh Esrei. We already get another seven blessings just like that. So because we're gonna get seven blessings with an additional Shemoneh Esrei. So it's not needed to be matriach the oilam to say Ein Kel Elokeinu, which gives us five blessings. We already have seven blessings. So that's one of the reasons why we do not say it. All right, are you satisfied with that? No, okay, but it's an answer. That's an answer. There are other reasons which I forgot. Okay, so that's the whole. So what do people do? They besamim. Okay, people, they fragrances. Bari atse besamim, bari mine besamim. Is now this is you see people do this and kol hakavod. Some there are many acharonim there are very much against this. They hold it's a problem. You need to be mashlim the 100 blessings, but it's a day of the inisem es nafshoy seichem. If you have really good stuff, not the stuff they pass around in shul, good stuff, really, which I don't even know if it exists today. Really, it used to be in art. The besamim are fragrances, real fragrances that we should make a bracha, not chemicals. They have chemicals. It's talking about the real stuff. And you can't, they probably don't even exist what they had time chazal, real fragrances which you make in atzei besamim or bore mine besamim. It is a very great joy. It is the opposite of inui. How can you go against the spirit of the law? If today is a day of the inisem es nafshoy seichem, what are you doing? Trying to circumvent the inui by enjoying yourself and using a bracha as an excuse. Is that really the spirit of the law? So there are those that were very much against this. Today, I don't think anyone has such great pleasure in fragrances. So today it's very common. You see the PS around, people make a bracha to be mashlim the brachas. It's a very good learning tool. You know that it's not just today on Yom Kippur you're supposed to make 100 blessings. The whole year also. Okay, today it's a different generation, a different time, but to get an appreciation, v'inisim es nafshe seichem. And in fact, Chazal say, you shall afflict your neshama. Chazal explicitly say that reach is something which the only benefit is to the neshama. The guf gets no benefit from besamim. Only the neshama gets benefit from fragrances. So how could you go and have a pleasure on Yom Kippurim, which is something which is mamish connected with what it says in the pasuk? V'nisim. Now, obviously, this is not the pshat. The pshat v'nisim nafshecha means only eating and midraisa. It's only eating and drinking. Midrabanan. It's the other three things: tashmis sicha and ne'ilas sandal. But you have to follow the spirit of the law to a degree. As I mentioned last week, is that what about if you come with sneakers? People have sneakers on Yom Kippur that are more comfortable than any leather shoes they've worn their entire life. So is that proper to do? So many say yes. Follow the law. The law is leather. It's not leather. V'zehu. Mutter. And probably most of Klal Yisrael goes down that path. But there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. A long list of Gedolei Yisrael that said, if your sneakers are more comfortable than your leather shoes, you should think about it. Yeah, you should.
I can understand they don't want to be in my shoes.
Woo! Ooh, that's the pun of the year. Woo-hoo! What a pun. Okay. And most people don't think about this because the sneakers really are not so comfortable either.
How long does the bracha for some last before you can make another one?
Hesachadas. You shouldn't abuse it. You shouldn't abuse Hesachadas. What is Hesachadas? Everyone is different.
In magazine, the Link magazine.
Shouldn't abuse it.
In the magazine Link before in Borough Park, they were advertising a 2-page ad, the topic. Because my wife, I wouldn't have looked, but my wife asked me what topic was. She had no idea.
Yeah,
said,
but it's
Yiddish,
banana.
And she didn't know what topic was.
Yizkar. Now, Yizkar, we do four times a year. Four times a year is Yizkar. We once spent, Yizkar is a fascinating topic. There's a big machloikis, it's a historical, this is an historical inyan. When it was the first source that Yizkar was recited in the Beis HaKnesses? And historically, did they recite it four times a year? The Shalosh, Shragolim, and Yom Kippur? How exactly did the story of Yizkar evolve? How did it evolve? So this is a big machlokes, and some suggest that Yizkar started only on Yom Kippur. There are those who argue that the Ikar Yizkar is only Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, in the Lin, the Kriya Satira, I forgot the part. Asher Podisa. What does it say before the word Asher Podisa? Or Mayevsky? No. There's a passing of the Kriya. It says something in the laning. At the end of the laning, it says something. It says that Kibayoyma is a Yechaber. No, not a Pasuk. It says before that. There's a Pasuk that says the Chazal Darshan that you need Kapara, the living need Kapara. And then it says the words, I don't remember the words in the context, maybe Ramayos will find it, Asher Podisa. It's a Chazal, it's a Gemara, Asher Podisa goes on the dead. And from these two words, which you have redeemed, Chazal Darshan, it's a Jerusha, that HaKadosh, there is a din on the dead, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the dead, what they left over in this world. They left over their legacy. Has that legacy, the seeds that the dead have planted in this world, have they blossomed into blessing or they have blossomed into trouble? And there is a Yoyim Hadin for the dead. Therefore, we, the living, have an obligation to be mispalel for the dead, because they are subject to din and they cannot help themselves. They need us to rescue them from the din that they are undergoing, like us in the Olam HaElyon. And that's why we say Yizkar, that's why we pledge money to Tzedakah and their Schus, pledging money to tzedakah, you have to be a mystic to have emunah and understand this. When you pledge money to tzedakah for the nesim, it is for them, mamash, like you won the World Series. They won the World Series.
Not the pledging, it's the giving.
The giving, the giving, you're right, the giving. L'chatchila, a person should give the money, this is a very important thing, should give the money for Yiskar before Yiskar. The money should be given before Yom Tov. Whatever you're planning to give, don't just give it. And then you should actually change the nusach. When you say in Yiskar, you see the nusach, you don't say asher nodarti, asher nosati, that I have given. It is the Mefar, all the Mefarim say, ein nedoime. The whole purpose of Yiskar is not just Hashem remember them. It's to pledge money, to give tzedakah in their merit, even a small amount. Even a small amount. This is what it says in the big books. It says the tainug that they receive from tzedakah, money, cash being given to poor people in their merit is ein l'shire. And in that category, ein l'shire, those who have already given the money to tzedakah before the recital of Yiskar, to those who pledge, and then when they get around to it, maybe sometimes it takes another Yom Tov until they remember they pledged last Yom Tov. That's not a good thing. It's a very good thing to give the money in advance and to say, Asher Nosati. Okay, so...
There's no Indian requirement to have a minyan to be in shul to say
Yiskar. Right, you can say Yiskar at home, 100%. Yiskar can be recited at home. A person cannot make it to shul, it's okay. You can say Yiskar at home. We're going to have a whole shiur on Yiskar, fasting. We say Yiskar, there are two parts. There is Yiskar Elokim, then there's a Kel Mole. Rabbi Tezner, I have it over here in the Sefer, he has a whole arichos on this, and he's convinced that it's a mistake. The Kel Mole was only recited for people, for the general, for the people who are of the Kehillah. It was not recited for the individual, don't change the minhag. Today, when we say Yiskar, every person they say two things. They say first Yiskar, and then they say Kel Mole.
Each person.
Right. The best you can do. I mean, whatever. Certainly for parents, a mother and father get a separate, and then some give one general, some do for whatever. Everyone does what they have to do, and then they basically repeat the same exact thing, mamish word for word with the Kel Mole. What's the chilik between Yiskar and Kel Mole? What, you're basically doing the same thing twice. What's the Kel Mole all about? You do either do a Yiskar or do a Kel Mole. It's a basic repetition. So you'll find some nuances of expression. Rabbi Tezner says this whole thing was a terrible, terrible mistake. This is the way the Yiskar was originally established, was everyone said Yiskar. A Yiskar for their father, for their mother, maybe he said more, finished. And then the Chazan got up and he said a Kel Mole. For everyone together, for the whole Kehillah, for all the people who no one is saying Yiskar for, there are people that no one's saying Yiskar for. They died without children, and people forgot about them. So you say a general Kel Mole for Kedoshim, for whoever. That was what the Chazan did after everyone said their private Yiskar. Somehow, due to confusion, everyone started saying the Kel Mole privately. And now today, after you say the Yiskar, then the Kel Mole, then the Chazan, what is he going to do now? So he says for the Kedoshim. V'chulu. Okay, very, very. But he says that's not the way it originally was, and no one's Chas V'Shalom saying to change. Don't change. Another thing that he says is a terrible mistake is, for some reason, all the shuls, they put the Sefer Torah on the bima, and they cover it with the talis when they say Yiskar. He says it's the biggest zuchus to hold the Sefer Torah when you say Yiskar. You do a Kel Mole, Mincha. So what do they do? The Gabbai Yitzchak, what does he do? He holds the Sefer Torah. And everyone lines up. They lines up and they say the Kel Mole. Someone, it's a very good covet. Who should be the one that's zoicha to hold the Sefer Torah when they say Yiskar? For some reason, the minute it became that you put the Sefer Torah on the bima and you cover up, maybe because they fight, maybe that's the reason why. Because who gets the cover of holding the Sefer Torah? Why you, not him, this one, that one, they get into a fight. So no one does it. You put the Sefer Torah on the bima and you cover it over.
Maybe because those people who are leaving the shul.
So pick it up again. So you pick it.
So now it's already covered. You leave it covered.
You pick it up again. You leave it covered. All right, whatever it is.
But I think that's why you're covering it to begin with for all the people who are walking out.
When they're walking out. Okay. It's a big mystery.
The Eitz Yisrael has his marech on the origin of Yisker. I mentioned it about it started with Hanukkah.
That's Hanukkah.
That's how it's
the martyrs. Interesting.
For the people who died and they found slumim around their waist, they weren't sure. So, you know, I don't know. Did he do it for a joke? I mean, he didn't do it in his mind. So Yisker Elohim es nishmasov imi l'tova. Remember him for the good. I mean, I hope he didn't convert. I don't know.
Interesting.
Remember him for the good he did in his life, please.
Yisker was a short ritual. It should take 3 to 5 minutes. It wasn't such a big deal.
Yeah, it also tastes short. What?
Some shuls take a half an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Some shuls it takes a half hour
before I got
to get out, to walk out.
The shul I landed on the east side read the entire L'Sefer Nishmas book. They had a L'Sefer Zichronis there for all the people, and somebody would stand there and read all the names, like 9/11. When they read the two.
All right, let's. Okay, let's. I want to go a little further, running out of time. Okay, let's discuss some important things before we run out of time. When the Ela is over, you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, and then you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vayed. It is Aramaic to say it 3 times, and then Hashem Elokim is said. It's said 7 times. Where does that come from? First of all, there are many, many minhagim. I mean, today we live in America. Everything has been, you know, morphed into one minhag. But there were many different minhagim. When did they blow shofar? You blow shofar. Some blew shofar after they said Shema Yisrael. Some blew shofar after Baruch Shem. It seems like there was a very strong minhag. You blow, you say Shema Yisrael once, you say Baruch Shem once, and then they blew shofar. And after they blew shofar, then they say Hashem Elokim 7 times. Why? Saying Hashem Elokim, blowing shofar represents siluk. We're going to get to that in a second. He has over here an incredible chidushim about why we blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippurim. One of at least 10, maybe even 20 reasons, I didn't even get to all of them, is siluk shechina. In ancient times, when you blow the shofar, it means it's time to move. Let's get the show on the road. It's time to go. You blow the whistle. Stand clear of the closing doors, right? Stand clear of the closing doors has replaced blowing of the shofar. Before, they had electronics on the subway train. Go back 5,000, go back 3,000 years ago in New York City on the subway, when it was time to go, they blew shofar. And that's when the train left the station.
They whistle, right.
You whistle. So the shofar is a signal. Is a signal to the Shechina, it's time to go. Where is the rebellion? How many heavens are there? This is a Gemara. The Gemara says there are 7 heavens. We say Hashem, everyone knows this, Hashem Hu Elokim, which with each recital of Hashem Hu Elokim, the Shechina goes up one notch, one heaven. So it is appropriate, therefore, it's very logical that the proper time to blow shofar is before you say Hashem Hu Elokim. You first say Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, they go together. Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, because that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that Klal Yaakov said to his children, Hagida, He'osru v'agid l'chem Yisrael, Yikreschem v'yachar sayamim, and then the Shechina disappeared. And he said, maybe one of you have, there are sinners here. And so he said, Baruch Shem. Now we makabel ol malchus shemayim. Kabolas ol malchus shemayim is Shema and Baruch Shem. We're finished. Now the Shechina departs.
Why 3 times?
Oh, we'll get that in a second. Very easy. It's very good. I'll tell you in a second. But first, let's get the shofar. So now it's time for the Siluk HaShechina. Shema and Baruch Shem is Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. That's the last thing we do. We start with HaMelech and we end with HaMelech. Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shemayim. Now it's the Gemar Siluk Shechina. So Siluk Shechina is begun, is introduced with the blowing of the shofar. This is a signal. The Shechina is now moving. It's going back to its makom, and we accompany the Siluk Shechina with Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times. That's very logical. That makes a lot of sense. And that's what was done, it seems. Somehow, it's probably, you know what happened? Probably was they weren't ready. It was probably too early to blow shofar. It wasn't yet Seis Lakechavim, so they had to push it off. What?
I've been sure where they blew shofar after Maariv.
Yeah,
that's what they're gonna do. Yeah, some do that. Some do that. Some taka do that. Yes, he's also saying the same is true.
Used to do it before true. Me, he did that. I changed it back, but I made an announcement.
Technically,
I told everybody beforehand.
Technically,
that, so if you did tshuva,
yeah.
What does it say about you if you left? Nobody left.
Technically, you can daven nila very early. Daven mincha. You know, daven mincha. Nila is at 3 o'clock. I mean, mincha is at 3 o'clock, and nila is at 4 o'clock. And you finish at a. Rabbi Baruch, we can't hear you. The sound, the Wi-Fi is not strong. Nila, you're not for plag mincha. Fine, plag mincha. Fine, nila. So you daven nila. So you can take it. So how long you want to do nila? You can do nila very very quickly. And after Ni'ilah, you can daven Maariv also very quickly, and you can go home when
that's what they did in COVID. The young Israel will be here.
They daven Ni'ilah early.
Of COVID.
In COVID.
We daven Maariv. I'm sorry.
Social distancing.
We daven Maariv, but we had to blow it in the house shelter.
They divide the social distancing required them to make multiple minyanim. They could not accommodate everyone at the same time, so they had a one minyan. They broke up the people. Well, they daven mincha ni'ila early. They finished ni'ila, but they finished ni'ila very early, and they even daven ma'arif. And then came in after they finished davening ma'arif, came in the next group, the next crew, and they daven mincha ni'ila, whatever how they worked it out. Now me'ikar hadin, if you finish ni'ila when the sun is still shining, me'ikar hadin, don't get it worked up now, you can blow shofar. Because shofar is chokhma ve'ena malach, it is not, there is no real prohibition to blow shofar on Shabbos. We don't do so. Chazal told us not to do so because it resembles a malacha. Obviously on Rosh Hashanah, it's the mitzvah hayoim, but it's not really a malacha. Many argue, and he writes it over here, it ancient, that it was no big deal. You finish. Today became. I don't know why it became such a big deal. Today it used to be. You get to that point in davening and you blow shofar. Right. No, it's not yet Seis Lakechavim. So it's not Seis Lakechavim. So what? So are you allowed to blow shofar? It is the minhag.
Comes out on Shabbos even you blow shofar. It is the
minhag. There's no yovel b'zman. I said it's not yovel.
But even that. But
then that's like Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah. They might think that it's over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I happened to my father 55 years in East New York. He downed a new shul, and it was a young girl, and they finished kneeling very early.
So right.
He got up, and he said he didn't tell people, but we knew what it was about. He was afraid that they were going to show for
they're
going to
leave.
They're going to go home, they're going to eat. So he says, we're going to daven Maariv first.
And then blow shofar.
And then we
want to blow shofar. Right. Okay, today the minhag is, today there's a hakpada. That's the way it is today, is that you don't blow shofar, even though really, me'ikar hadin, there's really nothing wrong with blowing shofar. This is the minhag. This is the halacha. You blow shofar when Yom Kippur is over. Therefore, you're allowed to do it. There's no violation of halacha. However, today it is not done. It's almost unheard of, not totally unheard of. You don't blow shofar until it's vaday tzei sakoy chavim. And in the event, Yom Kippur, it's not yet tzei sakoy chavim, as you said, so some shuls, they'll daven Maariv first, you can daven Maariv early, and then by the time they finish Maariv, it's tzei sakoy chavim, then they blow the shofar. Okay, now, but really, it used to be back in the day, it makes a lot of sense, is that they would say they would blow shofar before they said Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. The end of davening is Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Davening is now over. Finished. Now it's like Melave Malka. Let's now escort the queen. Now Tekiya, they blow the shofar. Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Elokim. See, it's not the way we perceive it. Today, when you go to shul, davening is not over until they close the aron. They say Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Elokim, and then they blow the then they blow shofar, and that's it. And then Lashon, no, Kaddish already was done. I'm getting all confused.
No.
You're getting me confused.
You
close the Aron before you say Kaddish, and then...
If you say Hashem Hu Kaddish, and then you close the Aron Kaddish, and you blow shofar in the middle of Kaddish.
You're correct. So we get the sense is that davening is really over when you finish Kaddish. Okay, you blew shofar, then you say Tiskabel, and you finish the Kaddish. But the truth is that the davening is really over, theoretically, when you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Oli Olam Voed. Oh, you didn't say Kaddish yet? Kaddish Tiskabel? No, that's a technicality. But the... No. Hashem Elokim is not really part of...
It's the last thing, right?
No. And that's what we would do it today. Today, we have been brainwashed today that the Ne'ilah ain't over until the last Amen of Kaddish Oseh Shalom Bimreimav Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael V'imru Amen. Oh, now davening is over. But years ago, they did things a little bit different. It could very well be that I don't know if this is true. I'm just making this up. It could very well be that years ago, they did not say Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem before Kaddish. They said it after Kaddish. I'm guessing, based upon what I'm reading over here, is they finished Shmona Esrei, and then they said Chatzi, they said Kaddish Sholem. Then, after Kaddish Sholem, Kabolas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We go out with a bang. Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem. At that moment, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Li Olam Voed, that is the real Gemar. Now, what we do is we say goodbye, we escort the Shechina. We blow Shofar, which represents Siluk HaShechina, the departure. And we then say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times to escort it. Over. Mm-hmm. That's not the way we have we organize the davening, and which basically gives everything a whole different meaning. Okay, very important. Dr. Dov, Didi, has asked why we say Baruch Shem three times. Very simple. I didn't know this until yesterday. I don't know anything. But very simple is Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. Melech. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso, His kingdom. The first time you say Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso, you're supposed to think the past. Michal, what's so funny? Hashem Melech, the present. The first time you say...
He created the world, he rules the world, and he knows.
Present, future. But the order of the Pesuk that we always say is Hashem Melech, present, Hashem Moloch, past, Hashem Yimloch. So the first time you say Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchusoi, the present. Second time, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso, the Malchus of the past. And Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso of the future. That's why you say it three times. Hashem Hu Elokim, we mentioned because first of all, what gives you permission to repeat something? Pinchas, Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, it's in a pasuk. Hashem Hu Aneini Hashem, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. If not for the fact that it says in the pasuk twice, we're not allowed with, because you're not really allowed to repeat something twice. The Gemara says anyone that says Shema Meshaskin Oisai. If you repeat psukim, you silence them. How are we allowed to go say then Baruch Shem three times? So the answer is the only Meshatskin is when a person says Shema, Hashem, Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokeinu. When you repeat the entire pasuk, that's not prohibited. So therefore, saying the pasuk three times, that's not a pasuk, Baruch Shem three times, is not a problem. Hashem Hu Elokim, you're saying the whole expression, but because it says it in the pasuk twice, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, that's why we have a green light that this can be repeated. So we repeat it seven times as a zecher for as a way to escort the the Shechina. Now, while we're on this topic, let's discuss many other reasons. Why do we talk blow shofar? Why do we blow shofar? So I told you one reason. It represents, it's a signal that the Shechina is departing. Another reason why we blow shofar, it's Zecher Liyovel. Yovel, once in 50 years, they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah itself. Yom Kippur itself. The Nusach of Musaf was the same exact Nusach of Musaf, was the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah. Malchio Zichroinois and Shofars. And they blew shofar. So we, as a Zecher, don't forget there's something called Yovel we blow when Yom Kippurim is over. Zecher Yovel. Another reason why we blow shofar is it's kineged the baskel. On Mitzoy Yom Kippurim, there's a baskel that goes out and says, Leich echol besimcha lachmecha ushesei belev toiv yeinecha ki chvor rotzoi elokim es masecha. In times when Yisrael was oisim Ritzon Shel Mokom, there was a baskel. You could hear the baskel call out to Klal Yisrael, I have great satisfaction in your avoida. Leich echol besimcha. The tekiah shofar is, listen carefully to that sound. It's not just an ordinary sound. In that sound is the baskel of leich echol besimcha. Others say another reason given is because it's a reminder to the oilam that it's a yomtif tonight. It's not the baskel, but it's a trumpet sound, a sound. Go home and eat a su'udah. Don't forget to enjoy yourself and eat the su'udah because it's a zman of great simcha. What? Basar. L'chatchilia, basar. It's a zman of simcha. Another reason is because it's the minig in ancient times when you are victorious in battle. When you come back from battle, victorious, you blow the trumpet. When the army arrives back at home, when they go out to a battle and they come back alive and healthy and they survive, when they come back, they blow the trumpet as a signal to their family back at home. We won! We won the battle! We won the battle! Look, Lulav, taking the Lulav is also a sign of victory. So we blow the shofar as a statement of victory! We have been victorious. We have been victorious in this battle. Now, the reason that I like the best, this really appeals to me, I'm a little bit going to overdo it, but basically, I'm not totally plagiarizing, but I'm not plagiarizing totally, but it's rooted in another mafarshim is, there was one day of Elul we forgot to blow shofar. What was that day in Elul? Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why didn't we blow Erev Rosh Hashanah? Anyone will tell you, Kedei la'arvev ha-satan. Everyone's going to tell you, because you don't blow the day before, you want to get him confused. Oh, we finished already. Kedei la'arvev ha-satan. It's true. Let's put that aside for one moment. We save one for later. We may need it. The potency of blowing shofar in Elul is powerful. Oiru yishenim mishenaschem. You sleepy people, wake up! Wake up! The shir is almost over. Wake up from your sleep. The blowing of shofar in Chodesh Elul is potent. The whole Chodesh Elul, we're starting with Chodesh Elul. Wake up! It's powerful. And we come to the end, the last day before Rosh Hashanah, and you know we're going to blow now. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. This is serious business. You know what? Let's take that coil that we really should blow, that would really wake us up to a degree that's beyond our understanding. Let's save it for an emergency. Let's put it away in safekeeping. For safekeeping, we won't do it today, we'll put it away. And we go into Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur is over, and now the missing coil of Erev Rosh Hashanah, we blow Mitzvah Yom Kippur. You know why? It ain't over yet. Don't enter into a state of complacency. You made it. You made it through Rosh Hashanah. You made it through Yom Kippur. Oh, Rabbi Yisrael, the battle begins right now. For who Rachum?
He's coming back with a vengeance because he had no sleep on Yom Kippur.
Right, he's coming back for us. You think Yom Kippur, it's all over? Ah, Yom Kippur, we made it, Hashem Elokim, now I can go home and eat, Kiddush Levana, you go home and eat and rejoice. No. Don't, the battle is not over yet. In fact, the battle is first beginning. It's first, well, that's a different dimension. There are many dimensions, but Mitzvah Yom Kippur, the kol shofar you're blowing is the kol shofar we saved. It's not a nuke that we've saved from Erev Rosh Hashanah to indicate in Elul, Oiru Yishenim Mishen Aschem. You need to wake up and do Teshuvah. Teshuvah is not just an Elul, it's for the whole year. Don't forget, with taking the one from Erev Rosh Hashanah, we need it the whole year. Now, this what I just told you, what it really says, something different, but it's related, and it goes back to the Satan. It's basically, it's to provoke the Satan. It's like, lahachis. It's a very strange idea to say this. It's like, ha ha ha, Satan.
Gotcha.
We got you. We got you.
So the question is, doesn't the Satan know from past experience?
New Satan. Every year there's a new Satan. We say to the Satan, ha, it's like sweet revenge. It's like, just like on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we did not blow. Because we want to confuse, we're very delicate, you know, white gloves. Ah, oh, we're so scared of the Satan, you know, don't go near the Satan. So don't blow Erev Rosh Hashanah. Kidei la'arev ha-Satan. Now that Yom Kippur is over, ha ha ha. La'aches, ligurus ha-Satan.
But an ambush. He's coming back to fight now, and he doesn't know what to expect, and suddenly he hits
boom. The shofar. Boom, right. Okay, that's what it really says. I changed, that's what it really says.
It's also Arab.
Yeah, no, ligar. The way it says it in the Katmainim is ligar boy, it's the hanah, a special hanah to provoke the Satan. Ligar boy is to the same way we did not blow Erev Rosh Hashanah, La Arvev. Now we have the hanah of ligar boyas ha-Satan.
The son doesn't know that it's Rosh Hashanah. He has 100 candles. Remember Jewish children?
It's an old kasha. Whatever these things mean, they mean. Whatever it means. But I don't know if you have to go there. I want to just say it a little differently. I want to say it more romantic. A more romantic approach is we saved one. It's more of a Musar approach. The one that we did not blow, we're going to save.
There's one more. And you remember Kedus Yitzchak by the Sima of the Din. You remember Kedus Yitzchak.
Right, so there's a minhag. We don't know one does this today. There's a minhag to say the Akedah by Mincha, because the Mesorah is that the Akedah took place on Yom Kippur. And who was Mesakein Tfilas Mincha? Yitzchak. Therefore, there could not be a better moment in time to invoke the Zichus of the Akedas Yitzchak than Yom Kippur Mincha. So we don't do this today, but they were minhagim with it. That's also they blow shofar. Okay, also yeah. Okay. Okay, we're out of time. We'll conclude.
Okay,
I just want to conclude with one vart in the honor of Yom Kippur and in honor of the Kollel, especially the Kollel we include right now, is when you I say this one every year, it's my favorite vart. Just in case you forgot it, Chazara for me to tie into Ni'ila, what do we say at Ni'ila? The Slichais, we say, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaToyra Hazais. Golus, we have a lot of different issues. But one thing we have, the only thing we have, Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaToyra Hazais. We say Avinu Malkeinu, there are five Avinu Malkeinus. Avinu Malkeinu that we say in the Kosveinu, or Chosmeinu, B'Sefer Achayim, Chosveinu, B'Sefer Gula of Yeshua, B'Sefer Paradas V'Chalkola, B'Sefer Zuchuyos, B'Sefer Slichum Chilo. What do those five Avinu Malkeinus correspond to? Chumish Bereishis, Chumish Shemois, Chumish Vayikra, Chumish Bamidbar, Chumish Devarim, Kosveinu B'Sefer Chayim Toivim, Bereishis, creation of life, Kosveinu B'Sefer Gula of Yeshua, Chumish Shemois, is the gulan of Klal Yisrael. Kasvenim is a parnasa the chalkola, karbonos, the karbonos, we bring a carbon, the karbonos is moirer parnasa. Rachamim, the karbonos represent parnasa. bring the karbanis, bring kapara. Zichuyos. What is our ultimate zichus? Zichus avos. Bamidbar. Numbers. All of the Vayikra is said is parnasa the chalkala. In the zichus of karbanis was zeichet the parnasa. Zechuyos ha'ikr, zechuyos is chumish bamidbar, where we count our yichus over and over again. Sefer Selichu Mechila is the one where Moshe Rabbeinu was mispallel for Eschanan El Hashem bo Eis Limar Ebrano V'eres Oris HaToy V'Hazos HaShem V'Hayardin, the whole, all the bakosh of Moshe Rabbeinu for Selichu Mechila to be zech to go into Eretz Yisrael. So in essence, when you say those five kosvenus, what you're really saying is V'sein Chelkenu B'soy Rasecha. It is an elaborate, over the top, eloquent bakasha from Hakadosh Baruch Hu that we should be zoicha v'sein chelkenu b'soy Rasecha. Ein lanu shiur rak ha'Torah azos. Everyone over here, you come to the koil every morning. You come, you learn. You can do many things. You come to learn over here. There's no one that I know that has a greater zuchus, the zuchus ha'Torah, that can say about themselves, Ein lanu shiur rak ha'Torah hazos, because a greater zuchus than the five kosvenus. And the same way the Ribbono Shel'Olam will give the kosvenus in Torah, should give all the other brachas to everyone over here, to you, to your family, your children, and your extended family and network of chaverim, a year of incredible Beracha, Hatzlocha, Nachas, Parnasa, excellent health, over the top, good health, and satisfaction in everything you do. Yimalei Hashem kol mish'alis libchem l'toiva, v'shem yizaycha a year of wonderful simchus, and witness the gula b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen. Gemar chasim of an easy fast. Easy fast. Be well.